We made it to another Friday, everyone. It is one of our favorite shows of the week. It's the Friday Fan Forum. And let me tell you, you're in for a treat tonight. The Highbury squad is going international again. Lockdown series, volume 2, episode 27. We've got some international legends in the house. Let's go. Greetings, everyone. Welcome, my pod sister, PG. Hello. I like the beanie. Very nice. Is that new?
No. Okay. Well, I think it came with the season ticket, the gold thing that we get every year. Honestly, my brain is dead. With the gold membership, I think it came. And I think people think it's like, where's Wally?
Yeah, like my other one that I wore the other day with the stripy socks, which are my favourite Arsenal socks.
I quite like this.
Also in the house is the legend that is Super Kevin Campbell. Everyone.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, here we go. Listen, I'm excited and I'm charged up for this one. We've got some gooners from around the globe, international boys in the house.
We've got Algeria via Denmark. We have the Egyptian Guna, and we also have Arsenal Lebanon in the house.
Lebanon,
all right.
Nice one. Algeria Gunas love it. Egyptian Gunas. Hey, welcome. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think, PG, we need to first, before we start off, so our Friday Fan Forum, we always love to hear from Gunas from around the world, right? And PG's doing the YouTube thing again. How many times?
I try to get away with it every time, and every time it doesn't work.
It never works.
I'm in the chat room.
Okay, good. Oh. You're the monitor tonight. If Amesie's not in the chat room, you're the moderator tonight.
Okay, so I'm watching Question of Sport.
She's watching. If you should be recording a Question of Sport.
I'm recording it. Okay, on my VHS video, I'm recording it.
Kevin Campbell's on the BBC's A Question of Sport tonight. I saw the clip with the legend that is Phil Tufnell.
Tufnell, brilliant.
You got it though, Kay.
There's a twist in the tale. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, all right, good. So let's get everyone's story first before we get into questions and stuff like that. I'm going to start with you, Salim. Tell us why you fell in love with Arsenal. And where you are, because there's a juxtaposition to being an Algerian Guna, but you're living in Denmark. You go first.
Yes. Started really, I think, like 25 years ago when already Anelka was there. And then obviously Arsene Wenger, I fell in love with the Wenger ball, Thierry Henry. And but I used to live in the UK and then moved to Denmark. Obviously joined my wife. And here I am. Actually, funny story, because I live next to the stadium parking where we played the final. Super KC, you hit the post that day.
Yeah? Yes. Yeah, I've been on with Salim before. We had a great time.
I love it. Did you fall in love with Arsenal because of Anelka? Because you gravitated to Anelka? Is that why you mentioned Anelka?
Because of Anelka. I just mentioned Anelka, but it was really because of they called them at that time Frenchies, and we only had the French TV at that time. The channel was Canal Plus.
Yeah.
So we used to watch the Premier League, obviously in French. And they were talking about these French players all the time, the Frenchies, they are of Arsenal, the Frenchies, and obviously Arsene Wenger. And then that's how I fell in love. But yeah, because of the Wenger ball as well, yeah.
He's the player I think we all think if he'd have stayed, he could have been the ultimate Arsenal legend, but he didn't choose
to. I actually cried. He's the only player I've cried for. It was Thierry Henry when he left, yeah. Yeah, I really, cried
well,
for him.
Yeah. Well, we don't cry for him anymore. We just cry for Arsenal fans.
Every week. I swear to God.
Every week. Ahmed, let's go to you, the Egyptian Guna podcast. Tell us about you and how you started and why you fell in love with the Arsenal.
I think it started, Well, where my very first football memories were the 98 World Cup in France. I remember watching specifically who are they playing? The Argentina and Netherlands game. I remember my dad being quite a big fan of Dennis Bergkamp. But we didn't get much Premier League games at the time in Egypt, so we just followed the international games and stuff like that. But I remember Bergkamp resonating with me, and then in the final, Patrick Vieira and Emmanuel Petit. And I kept following football from then until Euro 2000. That's when I saw Thierry Henry for the first time. And I asked, where does he play? They said he plays for Arsenal. And it's the same team that the guy from the 98 World Cup plays in. So I thought, okay, I'll start following that team for a bit. Watched Arsenal on and off because we didn't get many games, as I mentioned. I think it was 2003 or 2004, the invincible season. Started getting like 5 or 6 games every 3 months. Started following some games. And then the following season, the 2004-2005 season, that was my first official season as an Arsenal supporter. Didn't miss a game from then. I'm 29, so if you're thinking, why did you take you so long to start supporting Arsenal? That's why.
I love it.
Oh, no, but you look young, so I understand that.
Yeah. No, and generationally, we all fall in love with the club for different reasons at different times and stuff like that. Yeah. And, of course, Arsene Wenger and his influence and that whole era there's Generation X, there's the millennials, and then there's you've got the baby boomers, you've got Generation X, then you've got the millennials, and now you've got the alphas.
I never know. What am I?
You may fall into... I don't think you're a baby boomer. You might just literally by a hair's breadth PG get into Generation X.
Oh, I'm a Gen X. Oh,
okay. Maybe. Let's move over to you, Arsenal Lebanon. Let me tell you, as a kid, being from Cyprus, my family being from Cyprus, from Egypt to Lebanon. I never made it to Algeria, but my cousin married a Lebanese. Love the culture. I think una fatta una razza. We have the same food. We have all of that jazz going on. Tell us your story.
First of all, I have a message from the Arsenal Lebanon Supporters Club. We would like to thank you, Sophie, for your lovely gesture towards the Lebanese people, especially for your fundraising after the Beirut explosions. It's really overwhelming to us. It made us very proud that we, the Arsenal family, we are like this. It's really overwhelming to us and made us very proud. We would like to thank you from all our hearts. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, Lebanon has a very special place in my heart. So thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you. So my memories start with the World Cup 98. The two players that took my attention were Bergkamp and Henry. So I was a little boy back then. I didn't know what was happening, but they took my attention. My first Arsenal game was Arsenal versus Inter Milan in Italy, the 5-1. And Henry in that game was, wow. I remember this game very well. So Arsenal took my attention since then, but unfortunately I couldn't follow them because I didn't have the broadcast, the English Premier League broadcast and this stuff. My first Arsenal game, which I started following Arsenal regularly and I didn't miss any game, it was the game Arsenal versus Manchester City in 2007-2008 season when Eduardo da Silva scored that amazing volley. I fell in love with the Arsenal ball. It was, oh my God. This match made me fall in love completely with Arsenal, and I became a diehard Arsenal fan since then. And yeah, this is my story, briefly.
Do you know what I'm fascinated about is that if you live in England, it's normally a family member, your dad or your mum. But when you talk to people globally, it never is. You just fall in love with something to do with Arsenal, some match, some player, or some heritage that you're linked to. So it's really interesting that no one ever comes on and says, my dad, like I do, you know. No, it's really good. It's really cool.
I love it. And, you know, this is the beauty of our club. There are not a lot of clubs, and I don't think people realise this, you know, Chelsea may have won a lot lately. Manchester City may have won a lot lately. But the depth and the pedigree of Arsenal Football Club from a global perspective, it is massive. I've seen it here in the US. We've all seen it when we travel. And the fact that we have all of these incredible groups from all corners of the earth is amazing. And
Can I just tell you a little story? Sorry, Sove, because you know what, I'll forget otherwise.
Well, you're of age now. You're a baby boomer. No, wait, you're Generation X.
Gen X. I have to interrupt. I was on a cruise 1 year and I sailed into Jamaica and I had my Arsenal away top and we were climbing the Duns River Falls. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. And I had, they have guides to guide you up. And this guide said, can I have your top? Can I have your top? Can I have your top? And I went, it's an old away Arsenal top. It's one of the yellow and blue ones. And I thought, well, I've only got a swimsuit underneath. Not that you need anything else in the middle of Jamaica in the height of the season. And I said to him, if you get me to the top safe and get me down to the top safe, I'll give you the top. Well, I can't tell you how much he held my hand the whole way up, the whole way down. And when I left the island, he said to me, top, top, top. And I went, here's your top. And everyone ran to him. That's in Jamaica. And I mean, that was what, late 90s. Yeah, late 90s. To the depth of the Arsenal feeling. And I also feel globally, the African continent, we're massive in the African continent. But to be fair, when you go more like the Far East, it's more Liverpool and Man United. I'm not saying we're not big out there, but it's more Liverpool, the two big English clubs, obviously. But we're more definitely over the continents of, I mean, Australia, there's massive. We are massive in Australia because my cousin, who always used to come to Highbury with me, lives in Perth and has done for 25 years. They've got massive groups out there of Arsenal fans that literally get up at 3 a.m. and watch football and stuff. So football is so global. It's fantastic. It really is. And in the 80s, sorry, when in the 80s, when I was outside Highbury, we would never think like this, would we, Kev? We wouldn't think that somewhere in Malaysia, someone's watching Arsenal because it just wasn't like that. It was an English sport, and that was it.
Yeah, but you know what, PG?
Amanda.
PG. Bloody hell. Just tell her to just chill out with your PG. Listen.
Don't make me get the samurai sword out.
Yeah, don't get the samurai out. What used to happen is obviously we always used to go on tour.
Yeah.
And we used to go on tour in pre-season and we just used to go to Scandinavia, etc. And then, if you remember, after we won the title in 89, that summer we went to America.
Yeah, you did.
And we played Independiente, who were the champions of Argentina, and we played them in a game. And it was amazing how many Arsenal fans were actually at the stadium and out that way. And then a few years later, which you guys know, which probably the guys might know, we went to South Africa. And met Nelson Mandela, and we done Durban, we done quite a few, you know, places in, and the fan base in Africa was amazing. For the players, it was a shock because we thought, you know, we're going there and nobody's going to really know us. They knew who we were, they knew our stats, they knew our numbers, they knew everything about us. So it was always going to happen that way, especially with, obviously, what Sky were doing with the Premier League.
Well, absolutely, Kev. And the thing is as well, because there was no social media, how would us as English fans know what was happening to you in Scandinavia? Yeah. You know, but now we know where everybody is. I mean, there's a massive Liverpool fan base in Scandinavia, isn't there? Because they all fly over for the games. Yeah. But we wouldn't know that in those days. And football wasn't big in America either. But no, it's just
well, soccer, we call it here. Soccer. We call it soccer. Okay, let's get to our guests. I love it. Right. You guys have this is your show. So one by one, you get to ask us a question. You get to ask us anything. So why don't we start with Salim? You can go first. All right.
I've got a lot of questions.
That's okay. And you've got the legend in the house too. So it's it's over to you. And let's just, before you start, a huge shout out to our friends in Kenya as well tonight. We're going to do an Africa edition of this as well, you guys. I mean, we have African countries in this, but we've got so many great African nations that listen and follow our show. So you guys will be up next. So
it's
over to you,
Mr. Continent, Sophie.
It's huge. It's massive, 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 massive. Algeria and Egypt in the house tonight. Let's go.
Yes, Casey. So my question would be, obviously, we're going to talk, you know, about the manager and the appointment of Mikel Arteta. Do you think the club have chosen the cheapest option by appointing Arteta? Because no other, I would say no other manager would have taken the job like a big manager, one of those big names, like Allegri, Ancelotti, because those managers obviously will ask for lots of money to bring in the players they want in order to bring success and be successful. What do you think?
I think it's a good question, Salim. And for me, I believe it's a two-part question, actually, because there's the wages of the manager. If you're going to get the top managers, you're going to be paying them between 8 and 10 million a year, right? I think Arsenal had years and years and years of paying Arsene Wenger 10 million or 12 million or whatever it was. And we were getting worse in the end. So I think they wanted to go in a new direction. They also realized, which is part two, that they don't have the Abramovich money. They don't have Sheikh Mansour money to go into the transfer market and just throw at it. So they needed a manager who could work with a budget, and they needed a manager who would be happy to come in on a certain level of wage. And none of the big managers fit that model. So I think Arteta was perfect. He was, it was his first job. He was happy to come in and work under that parameters. He's happy to come in and work under that wage structure. But he was also happy to come in and try and move and shake within the club to try and help youngsters come through. But knowing he doesn't have the funds to go out and get everybody he wants.
Salim, are you Arteta? Are you an Arteta fan, or do you question him just before you?
I question him a lot. I mean, I've said it the other day with Casey. We had a show together. I said, I'm not Arteta out, neither Arteta in. But as fans, we have the right to question some of the choices he's been making since the start of the season, right? And also, his management is questionable. And some decisions have been baffling me. I said that to Casey the other day. So, Casey, according to you,
take over, go on.
Yeah, I was just because you said they made, so according to you, so as far as I understand, they had to make that choice because they didn't have the budget. So as fans, we shouldn't expect a lot during this period, during this so-called process, because he can bring in the big names, he can bring in big players to the club. So we shouldn't expect a lot.
Salim, don't forget,
yeah,
we are talking about the process has been 17 years since our last title.
Yeah,
so when you win one, and then you are in the process of trying to win another one, this is the key.
Yeah.
For 17 years or 16 years, we haven't been consistent enough in the league. There have been some seasons where we knew we needed a centre-half and a centre-midfielder to have an opportunity, etc. We haven't made good signings. We haven't got a strong enough squad. The mentality of the football club isn't of a big club anymore. We left Highbury and we moved to the Emirates. And because we qualified for the Champions League, everybody was okay. But the moment we stopped qualifying for the Champions League, and we have stood still the last 4 years. Everybody might expect on paper, if you look at our team on paper, our squad on paper it looks quite good. But these are the same players, Salim, who have let us down. We should have qualified for the Champions League under Unai Emery. We had two opportunities.
Oh, we should have qualified for the Champions League under Arteta. He still had a chance to do that when he took over in December.
No, Sophie. No, he didn't.
Come on.
Hold on, can I say something? Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
I've been counting 2 days ago. I made some, I've been counting. He had, as if I'm not wrong, he had 15 players he was involved in, like in transfers. 15 players between loans, signings, new signings, contract extensions. So this manager, a lot of people are saying he needs time. He needs to bring in his the players he wants. Casey, he was involved in 15 players. I'm going to tell you something, and that's why I think it's my personal point of view. This manager has been backed more than Arsene Wenger and then Unai Emery. It's facts. Numbers are here.
Tell me it's not fact.
That's not fact.
It's not fact.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'd like to move on to Ahmed and
no,
also,
let's finish this one.
No, because
I've got something
I'd
to
like
say about
everyone's
this, actually.
Opinion on that. I'd like to hear what they have to say about, because I think Salim just made a great point.
It's
I think
not
it's
true.
Still
true.
No, hold
on
a
great.
Second.
22 years of Arsene Wenger.
No,
and 18
no.
months of Arteta, and look Arteta's been back more than him.
Okay, I'm going to just hand it over to let Salim defend himself for his comment, and then I would love to hear Ahmed and Shihab's comments too, because I believe that he has been backed. I think it's delusional to think that Kroenke has not given them money to spend. Just go
Sophie,
look at the.
Sophie,
go on.
Can I say something?
Yep.
There is a difference. People are saying Kroenke is not spending money. Actually, I was reading 2 months ago, there was an ESPN report. We've spent most money in world football the last couple of seasons. Manchester United were
second
first.
Second to Man United in the Premier second. League.
Yes, 200 mm-hmm. more than over £222 million. That's yep. crazy. Now, you can argue the money has been have been spent wrongly or badly. That's the yeah. that's the difference. But the money have been there. Kroenke yep. have been spent. Kroenke is not spending money is a myth for me.
Yeah, I agree
so,
with you.
So
Ahmed, what do you
that,
think? Hold
so
on.
How
hold
is
on.
That Arteta's fault?
Hold on, it's not Arteta's. It is. Hold on.
Say something.
No, hold on. No, you don't say something. I want Ahmed, and I want to hear the guests you first, and then you and Casey can defend it.
Gary Mary.
I completely agree. Ahmed, you go, mate.
I think the whole Arteta appointment looks so much worse because they messed up the whole transition period from Arsene Wenger. They didn't plan it correctly. They didn't hire the right people. They didn't put the right people in the hierarchy. I personally have lots of problems with how Arteta implements stuff football-wise, but that's fine. You're not supposed to be 100% in agreement with the manager. That's okay. But I think they didn't really put a structure for Emery or Arteta to work with. I don't think Arteta is the one who hired Edu. He's not the one who had Raul in place. He didn't the one who had Sven Mislintat come and go. He's not the one who put Ivan Gazidis, I think, who is the worst thing that ever happened to Arsenal Football Club along the past 20 years. He's not the one, he is at fault for lots of football stuff. That's fine. But it's not about how much money we spend. We spend a lot of money, but in the wrong way. Paying 35 million for Shkodran Mustafi, that's not good business. 35 million for Granit Xhaka, that's not good business. So we
but
do spend money. There is
that's
money.
That's Arsene Wenger's silence.
Yes,
he's,
but
yeah,
I don't disagree with that. But the thing is, when you decide to move on from an old-school manager like Arsene Wenger and move into the modern way of football, whatever you like it or not, you need to put it in place, put stuff in place for that to behave and work correctly. You need to have someone as a director of football, even though Arsene Wenger didn't agree with that, but you should have had someone doing that role other than even Gazidis, who didn't know anything about football, in my opinion. And then successing him with Raul Sanlehi, who was there to help his friends make money, help other contacts make some money. That's what the whole point of his presence was. That's not the right way to run a football club in 2020. That's not how things should be. So we kept spending money, kept buying players, signing contracts for players like Willian, David Luiz, although he has improved a lot, but still just a friendly thing to do between agents. That's not the right environment to judge a manager football-wise. That's what I'm trying to say. I disagree with Arteta and the way he manages some players. I disagree with some of his stubbornness with persisting with some players. Of course, Willian, that's an example. I disagree with all his substitutions every single game, but that's fine. That's stuff that he can learn and pick up as a manager, because Arteta is like Bukayo Saka. Saka is 19 as a footballer. Arteta is 38 or 39 as a manager. It's the same level when you compare him to other people in his industry, basically.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. Right, can I just say something now?
No, I want to go to Shihab, and then you can. Yeah, you and Casey can say something. No, I would, because this is a very great point that has been brought up, and I'd love to hear their opinion first, and then it goes to you and Casey. All right.
Okay. I would like to say about the appointment of Arteta first. If you look back then with the options that available, none of them fits the Arsenal culture. Like if you look at Allegri, I would never love to watch like us defending for 90 minutes. You know, I would never accept Mourinho at Arsenal because you know Mourinho has been harsh on us all years. Yeah. He's always been this bad manager toward us. He's always like speaking badly of us and Wenger. I would never love to have him. And Pochettino is a rival. He used to like coach Tottenham. So I think Arteta brings to Arsenal a project. I really believe in that because if you look internally, he's working so well. If you look at the players that we got rid of, it says a lot. Like many of the players that we got that we like let them off, we couldn't like sell them. Nobody would take them. This is how bad they are. Nobody would pay money for them. This says a lot. This says a lot. You know, what I love about Arteta is the way he's developing our young players. If you look at Saka now, Saka is a great player to us now. If you look at him tactically and like in the field, he used to play on the left. And suddenly he's on the right. This is a big plus to Arteta. This is something I have to give him credit to, because like maybe other managers wouldn't see it that maybe Saka is more effective on the right. The same case with Pepe. If you look now at Pepe on the left, he's another player. He's like a new signing. I'm using this quote. I'm quoting Wenger now. A new signing in the middle of the season. You know, I believe Arteta has a project. I believe in that. But I believe on the field and matches and football matches, yeah, we're suffering from him. He doesn't have like this. He's not the manager that can then flip games. You know, if you concede the first goal, we're done. Game over. He doesn't have the character to like to turn the game around. I think
Plan B yeah. Plan A versus Plan B. Yeah.
I remember only one game we turned it around. It was against Southampton, and I was like. Celebrating. It was like a big deal for me. Wow, it was 1-0 away and suddenly 3-1. It was fantastic for me. I disagree with him on the pitch. But like his like the way he handles games,
that's a really interesting point. That's an interesting point because you're saying like you believe in his trust the process and his long-term project, but you're questioning some of his in-game management, which is fair. Right. Shall we unleash the beasts, you guys? Yeah. Who wants to go first? PG.
I have one point.
Oh, okay. You can go for your 1 point first. Yeah. Yes.
I'm really. What frustrates me that we are 11th in the league. I don't think our players are that bad to be 11th in the league. Like out of all our 10 losses, I would say Arteta is behind 6 or 7. Is responsible of, you know. I know we're gonna suffer with him tactically, but I think for the future, I think he's the one. I don't know. I think he brings a project. He brings something that I've never seen in Arsenal many years back. We've always like looked Hazard. We didn't know what to do. You know, with Arteta now, there is a plan. There's something going on. So we have to wait and see. I don't know.
All right, PG, you next, and then Super Kev.
Right. Shehab, I agree with. You, I don't agree with.
Salim,
I don't agree with. One of the most important things a manager needs is a pre-season. How many pre-seasons has Arteta had?
I'll stop with the pre-season.
No, excuse me. I'm talking. Yeah. How many pre-seasons has he had?
You know.
Half.
No, he hasn't even had that.
He's had half.
Did he have not half enough. A pre-season? Through COVID.
Come on,
he's been manager since last December. Let's stop this nonsense about pre-season.
Honestly. It's my moment.
He had the three friendlies, if I'm not mistaken. You can't count them every season. I agree with you.
He's had no full pre-season. He's had no proper season because it's COVID and all this mentalness that's going on. He's got players that are playing every 3 days. As you can see, Partey getting injured, Tierney getting injured. You know, we do have to give him some time.
Oh, like West Ham.
Oh, we just have to give the new manager some new time. That's it. You know, if I say it all the time, and I know this is supposed to be a fan show and we'll move on from this, but if you keep sacking the managers, and let me just say something else, sorry.
No one said that tonight.
No. If you do, and I'm talking to anybody, I'm just saying, if you do keep sacking the managers, where do you think we're going to be? Wenger left us in a terrible, terrible
position.
That's
not the narrative here,
and he
the narrative of what they're saying.
No, because he was Salim was saying this, that Wenger was backed less than Arteta is hilarious. That is honestly funny. Wenger didn't get us into the Champions League in the last few seasons anyway, so we don't have that to even talk about. My point is this: you can criticize him. I don't understand why he plays Willian, and if I met him I'd ask him that question, but you've got to trust some sort of process here. I think he's the right man for the job. Who knows? That's all I wanted to say. Just think
on. Okay, you moved away from the narrative a little bit.
No.
Yes, you did, because you went into COVID and pre-season and all that nonsense. That's not what we're talking about.
If you're going to criticise Arteta, then you have to understand what he's had and what he hasn't.
Can I just say something? You mentioned the COVID. Sorry, Casey, to interrupt you. Just a second. You mentioned the COVID. I'll just give you a small example. West Ham United. David Moyes got COVID twice. He didn't have a pre-season. Tour. West Ham are in better position than us.
And Aston Villa.
Does West Ham have a better squad than us?
Salim.
I believe strongly not.
Let me answer that question.
Yes.
Because I hear a lot of this. I hear a lot of this about look at West Ham and look at Aston Villa.
Look at Leicester.
And look at Leicester. Every season there are teams that do better than they did the previous season. And every season there are teams that don't do as well as they've done the previous season. Okay? Aston Villa did not keep the same squad. They have improved.
Oh, we didn't improve our squad, Casey?
Is it me speaking or is it you, Sophie?
I'm going to... Hold on. Here we go.
They have improved. We have not improved. We have bought new players in, but as a team and as a squad, we have not improved. Let me finish, Salim.
Yes.
We have done worse because we are being carried by three young players. Which of them teams who you mentioned, Aston Villa, isn't being carried by three young players? West Ham aren't being carried by three young players. And if you think about the last 4 years, West Ham United have added players and added players and added players year after year after year. Aston Villa have only been up. This is their second year up. So they've added a Ross Barkley in, etc., etc. They're doing better. Our problem is our experienced players are not performing. It's that simple. And we could talk about, but West Ham are doing better. Let's see where we are at the end of the season. Because speaking of the narrative right now, yeah, we're in 11th spot and all that. Let's see where we finish the season. Because the season ain't over.
All right. Okay. I want to move on. We're 33 minutes in and we've got one question down. Okay.
That's Salim.
Sorry.
No, we're sorry. It's a good one.
This has got nothing to do with Sophie time either. By the way, there's a few hundred people in chat right now. Please hit that like button. These are great guys. Know their Arsenal Football Club. Already just one question has spawned great feedback from everybody. Ahmed, let's go to you with your first question. What would you like to ask?
I have sort of a heavy question that's probably going to bring everyone down. But
bring it on.
Do you think that maybe the glory days are over for us as a club? And before you start reacting, I can elaborate a little bit. I understand it sounds like a millennial thing to say because Arsenal has gone through a very bad period. I think in the 80s, they were horrible. And then the 90s came, we improved. And then the early 2000s were much better. They were iconic. And then we've had a bad spell since then. But it's not the same sport at the moment. It's not operating in the same way. It's a money sport. It's much more mechanical, less room for creativity and much less room for innovation, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've been left behind by all of this. We don't have the same funding. We don't have the same structure. We don't have the same foundation to build and catch up with the other clubs who are light years ahead of us. If you compare us to Bayern Munich, we are light years behind them. Compare us to Barcelona in their worst days at the moment, we're still behind them. And that's fine. That was fine, I think, 10, 20 years ago. But we believed that we were on a track to reach that point at some time. But we're not anymore. So maybe that's where we will be forever.
A brilliant question that many of us, I think, when we sit in a room on our own, we wonder, when are we ever going to win the Premier League again? And we've talked about this on our show a lot, Ahmed, where we say it took Liverpool 30 years. We're 17 years in. So I'm going to pass this one to PG first.
Yes.
And then we'll go to KC and get everyone's opinion. Go on.
Okay, so it's not dead, but it's different to how it was. That's how I'm going to explain it. And football is cyclical. We will have our good times and we will have our bad times like every club. When I was growing up, Man City, I don't even think we're in Division One with us. Things change all the time. We're in a bad part, yeah. So when I started watching football, we weren't very good. Again, up and down, that's football for you. But since Sky and the Premier League have come in and social media and everything has changed, it really has. I mean, I'm going to discuss very later on about what Arteta came out and said today about threats to his family. You know, social media has changed everything about stuff like that. And when I was growing up, late 70s, early 80s, watching Arsenal, we were terrible, but our expectations were very different. You've grown up in the Wenger era. I didn't have that. I grew up before even George Graham came in, when we had Terry Neill and John Howe and managers like that, where, if you would believe this, Highbury wasn't massive then, and we had about 15,000 fans. We could sit where we wanted. But things change all the time, and I wouldn't give up so quickly. It is different. We're never going to go back to those days because money speaks. It wasn't about money early 80s. Was it, Kev? It just wasn't. It was about the English game of football. It wasn't big. It wasn't showbiz. When it became showbiz, that's when it all changed.
And we're not good at that, and we're not built for that, basically. So,
no. Well, let me add to that, PG, because I think you make some really good points. And Salim, I want to say to Salim, because I know Salim wants to jump in. Shehab wants to jump in, but you know, Ahmed, success, define success. What you mean by success? Because if you're talking about winning trophies, we've already won a trophy under Arteta.
No, so it's not trophies.
I need to establish what you mean by success.
Yeah, it's not winning trophies. It's basically competing.
League. Yes, that's what I said at the beginning
and
of the season.
And it's not where you finish.
Success isn't competing. Success is winning.
Yeah,
but competing to win the Premier League.
Every year, you'll win eventually.
You said success. So that's why I'm asking you to define it. So you're not on about winning. You're on about competing.
Yeah, well, competing will get you there at the end.
Yeah.
Well, teams like, which teams have you seen that are competing every year and haven't won the title? None. If you compete long enough, and that's what happened with Liverpool. They competed since 2014 till they won it in 2020. So competing gets you there eventually.
Now, don't forget, Liverpool hadn't won the league for 30 years.
Yes. But they won the Champions League, Kev.
It don't matter. Because we're talking about, you're talking about competing.
Yeah.
If you want to compete, you've got to compete in the league. That's what you said to me before.
Yeah, they were out of the picture since the early 90s till 2014 when they had their first title challenge. And then they challenged again and again and again. And then they won. That's it.
Okay. So what we're saying is, it's taken them really 24 years to get competitive. That's what he's saying.
Them, I think it took them less than that because they were in a mess, how? In a similar mess. They started working on it quite late. That's what I believe, at least.
No, but the point they of the matter the is...
They won the League Cup, they won the FA Cup, they won the Champions League.
But we've won FA Cups, but you don't take that into consideration.
Yeah, so we do.
No, we don't. So, because we're talking about, and I've just asked Ahmed to explain to me what his point of success is. And it is challenging in the league to compete. They have not been really there or thereabouts competing in the league since 1990 until they won it last year. Obviously, they've had a stretch of under Klopp where the first season they didn't go so well, then they got better, and then they come close, and then they won it.
It's Rodgers, actually, I think.
No, but that's fine. But in order to get competitive season after season, it's taken Liverpool Football Club 24 years.
To win the league, 30 years to win the league. It hasn't taken...
I'm saying competitive.
Competitive, he means.
Yeah, okay, competitively.
I said competitive. I didn't say win it. Yeah, but it's taken them 30 to win.
You see, they were not finishing in the bottom half or seventh or eighth for that entire period. They started finishing in those bad positions, I think, between 2008 and 2014. But before that, they were always there.
Ahmed, whether they finish... fourth or they finish eighth, they do win it.
That's good. Yeah,
they do not win it. And we're talking about
Champions League twice.
Sophie, let me just tell you. You keep telling me this, I know, but we're talking about being competitive season after season after season. That is what we all want,
right?
If we all want that. And what's happened at the football club over the last 15, 16 years? Arsenal are a big club, but have a small club mentality or a medium club mentality. The mentality hasn't been to be the best.
All right.
In order to get that, we all have to get serious as a football club.
We do. Just and if only the football club can get as serious as the fans. Ahmed, did you want a quick follow-up before we move to Shehab?
Follow-up question with that. Do you believe that the current environment of football with aligned with the current setup of Arsenal, that prepares Arsenal to be competing even in the distant future, not in the near future? Because it seems like everyone is so much ahead of us and everyone's moving at a very different pace. That's what I'm worried about. And that's the reason behind my original question. Because I don't feel like we're doing the same things that others are doing. We're doing different things and we're regressing, basically.
What do you mean by doing the same thing as who? Because we can't do the same thing as Chelsea because we don't have the money. We can't do the same thing as Man City because we ain't got the money. We can't do the same thing as Liverpool because Liverpool had tradable pieces that they could go, sell, get money in order to buy. We don't have that. We're having to pay players, Ahmed. We're having to pay players to leave.
I agree.
So the club, as PG rightly said, Amanda said, has been left in a shambles. Right now, what Arteta and Edu are trying to do is trying to construct something within the club, a platform for us to move forward. And it's difficult.
Is that enough? That's a question. Do you think that is enough for us to compete with the others? That was the original question. Do you think what we're doing now is enough?
It needs time.
And money. Yes, they are brilliant. Well done, Fit. And we hope, by the way, FIFA boy Darren, that you're doing good today.
Yeah,
In NBA style, this is timeout. I'm calling a timeout. I'm going to move to Shehab. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how many questions we've got to. This is going to be a part 1, 2, 3 show. Let me just tell you that.
We'll have to get them back on. They're definitely coming back on.
Brilliant questions. I love the dialogue. Shehab, over to you, mate. You get to ask your first question.
Okay. So this season, what's worrying me a lot is Aubameyang. What's different this season is Aubameyang is not getting the goals. Like if you go back 2 years ago since he came, he was the difference. Always his goals were like saving us. You as a professional player, what you used to do when you get into a bad form to get back to your form? And what do you think Aubameyang like is gonna get back to his form, to his good form anytime soon? Because we really need his goals. He's being so poor and it's very frustrating and making me so worried. If you look at his performance lately, it's devastating. Like he's not showing that he's the captain of the team. He's not showing that he's a player who gets like 150k a week. He's not giving anything. He's not giving us a glimpse of hope that he wants to play for Arsenal, or he's doing an effort for the team. So what do you think?
Yeah, sure. What I will say is this: it's what amazes me is Arsenal as a football team are not doing great, and Aubameyang's form goes.
Yeah.
Right? Aubameyang's form goes. We waited for Thomas Partey. He was injured, and we get Thomas Partey back. Thomas Partey comes in, and who was it we playing at home? It was 0-0 at halftime or whatever. And Thomas Partey picks up a ball, and second half, who was it? It was after the
Newcastle.
Yeah. Thomas Partey plays a ball early to Aubameyang. Aubameyang goes, attacks the defender, bang, goal. This is what Aubameyang needs service. Our problem has been we've been better defensively. In midfield, we've been better at times, but at the top end of the pitch, we have not been creating enough chances. We think just putting balls in the box is going to do it. It is not. We have to be a lot more creative. It's taken the kids to come in for us to look anywhere near like a Premiership team. Let's be honest, because we looked awful for a big stretch of games. So we have to play better. And again, I'll go back to it. We're actually being carried by 19 and 20-year-old boys. This is Arsenal Football Club. It shouldn't happen. But unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves because the experienced players are not consistent enough. And over the years, they've proved not to be consistent enough. That's why it needs a revamp.
PG, go on.
But if you look at Aubameyang's like way of playing lately, it's very way worrying. He's not making the runs.
Shehab, let me stop you there.
Like if you watch the Aston Villa game, it was awful, man. It was like I was very angry. Like, and he even had one chance with was like I had it or something, and he was like, "Oh man, okay, whatever."
Yeah, but he didn't start. He was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, but like you would expect him to be the difference when he comes off the bench.
Exactly.
Again, this is on the day Arsenal didn't play well.
Yeah.
We gave them a goal, and on the day Arsenal didn't play well. Sometimes you just have to hold your hands up. It's difficult to take, Shahib. It is difficult for Arsenal fans to take because we don't want to admit that we aren't good. But we aren't good. We are not good. We are not the same club.
But one of the things, Kev, that people need to recognise is that if you want to win, it's going to be easier if you're on a level playing field. We're deep in shit. That's where we were left. So not only do you want us to get out the shit, you want us to win as well.
Well, we won the FA Cup and we lauded Arteta when he did that. Come on, guys.
Sophie.
We're
Sophie.
A cup team.
Sophie.
There it is. That's just it. Wait a minute. Yep.
But
there
Sophie,
you go. Yep.
Sophie, listen. It's what he won with. That's what we're talking about. Normally, Manchester City give us a slap. They slapped us up after the restart, slapped us up at their place. Remember, David Luiz done his party piece in the member. He got sent off. They slapped us there. They usually slap us, not in the semi-final. The team turned up. We were like, whoa, brilliant.
But we don't turn up in the Premier League. We can't do it for 38 games consistently.
No, but they've never been able to. This is my point.
Yeah,
we're not that good.
But why can we laud him? I'll hand over to you, Salim, because your second question is next.
Okay.
Why do we laud him when he wins the FA Cup with the same players and Aubameyang? Everyone loves him. He drops the FA Cup. Oh, captain, fantastic. Woo, Superman.
Because we won.
Of course. And the only difference between Emery and Arteta is that Emery lost his final and Arteta won his. If Arteta hadn't won the FA Cup final, the love coupons would have run out way, way, way a long time ago.
The fact of the matter is, he did win.
Yes, and we're happy to win the FA Cup.
Yes,
but
we are, because as a club, we are not where we used to be.
And also, you keep saying lauded. I don't think we were like,
we were thrilled that we'd won the FA Cup.
Please.
No one's
we believed we were going to compete for the Premier League after we won the FA Cup.
That's what happens when you win finals, Sophie. I mean, I agree that maybe people went over the top of it, but that's what happens when you win finals. People are on board more than before. That's just normal.
I find it strange that it's amazing. A problem that we win the FA Cup.
Wins three Europa League finals and he's a shit manager, and Arteta, who's a novice, and just because he managed with Pep, comes in, wins an FA Cup, and it's like, we should be happy with the fact we're 11th and Leeds are above us, Aston Villa are above us.
Can I just say something?
The mediocrity acceptancy is like having a pandemic in itself.
Unai Emery won nothing at Arsenal. I don't give a shit what he won elsewhere.
But the reason he got the job at Arsenal.
No, I don't care, Sophie. Okay. Because when we talk about players who have played elsewhere, people don't give a shit.
Chelsea sacked Lampard because of mediocrity. Okay? I'm going to move to Salim for Lampard his second question. Won. Okay. He lost his final against Arteta. Right. That's what's kept Arteta in his job so far. Salim, let's go to your second question.
One more thing. I promise. One more thing. We're 11th. In January. We've not finished the season yet.
It's February.
February, sorry. I don't know what month
I'm in. It's almost March, for crying out loud.
It's mid-February. The season doesn't end until God knows when this year. But
I guarantee you we'll lose against Leeds on Sunday. Go on, Salim, your second question, please.
I don't know where we end up.
Because if we end up below the bottom half of the table, in the bottom half of the table, and we don't win anything, that is a grand failure.
If we'll all be drunk.
All Jesus right. Well, please, let's get drunk then. It's Friday. Highbury squad. This is the fan show. Salim, your turn. You go. Next question.
I completely forgot the question. Yeah, that's it. Because Sophie spoke about Unai Emery. He lost less games in the season than Arteta did. I think he's on 11th loss now, right?
10.
Arteta, if I'm not wrong. 10. Anyway.
It's 10. 10.
10.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, Emery, if you look at Emery's number, he done better than Arteta. That's, again, it's the number speaks. Yeah? Sorry?
He never won anything.
Yeah, I know, but he was in...
Why didn't we give enough time for Emery? Why haven't we been patient
with Emery like we're doing right now with Arteta? Right. That's my question.
That's a great question. That's a fair question.
Let me tell you why, Salim.
Could you remember what happened at the end of that debacle in Baku?
Yes.
Could you remember?
Oh, yes. Was that his fault or the players' fault? You always say it's the players and now it's the manager's fault, Casey. Hold on a minute.
I am talking about the players.
Okay. What are you on about, Sophie? I'm talking about the players.
No, it didn't start that way.
I never mentioned Emery. I said, did you see what happened at the end of that debacle in Baku? I've never mentioned Emery about that.
But Casey, he had a worse squad than this one. This squad is better than Emery. Come on, he had done it well back in the squad.
Salim, what I'm saying to you is this. He had opportunities to qualify for the Champions League and to win the Europa League. It never worked out for him. So there needs to be a reset. And we were getting worse throughout the season. And he totally lost the dressing room because you could see what was going on with Ozil. You could see what was going on with Xhaka. The players got him the sack. It's not Emery. It's the players. And that's what I'm trying to say, Sophie. It's not
so
Emery.
So the players
Emery
who have been
good,
crap in the Premier League
Emery
are not
is
getting Arteta
manager.
The sack.
Emery is a good manager. It's these players that...
To me.
Sorry?
Why is it then, if they get him the sack because he lost the Europa League final, then the players who are playing poorly in the Premier League...
That's not what I said, Sophie. If you listen, I said they got him the sack when they're supposed to reset in the second season. They did not, and they got him the sack. That's what I said.
Yeah. Player power.
Player power. And it's that dressing room, that Deadwood, that cancer that is in the dressing room is what got Emery the sack. Freddie came in. Freddie managed 6 games, I think, and he dropped Ozil. So what does that tell you about what's happening on the inside? It's all very well talking when we look from the outside.
But we didn't back Emery when he tried to do it. Go on, Salah.
No, they didn't back him because the dressing room had fallen apart.
Listen, I'm not defending Emery. I'm just talking about facts, right? Because I've seen a lot of people actually giving a stick to Emery, are backing now, talking about Arteta. Give him time, trust the process. And I can tell you, a lot of people, especially on social media, yeah? So why these double standards? That's what I want to understand. That's it.
Great question.
Because Arteta... Yeah.
It's Salim. A great question. Salim, because he lost his final, Salim, that's why.
Salim, ultimately, it's the players that will either get you another contract or get you sacked. It ain't the managers.
Okay, we're going to go to Ahmed now. Your next question.
Okay. Hopefully it's light-hearted.
Hey, I'm fired up. You got me fired up, Salim, man.
You got me fired up.
It's another heavy one, but it's not football related, so we can chill a little bit because...
PG, are you replaying the show already?
No,
what's wrong
I don't
with
know.
You?
Turn that off.
Okay, go on, Ahmed.
Go on, Ahmed.
Okay. Yeah, the question is for everyone, but specifically Casey, since he played professional football. And well, the question is, what do you think makes a club? And let me elaborate a little bit. Of course, you've seen people posting everywhere on the internet that this is not the same Arsenal that we were supporting before. We've lost the class that was attached to the club. This is not how we behave. This is not Arsenal. This is not what we do usually. And people are under this. Some people are saying we lost the class when Wenger left. Some people are saying that. People are under the impression that a club is whoever is in charge and the people on the pitch and the people, in the hierarchy or whatever. I don't think that. I believe the club is the fans, the people who actually support the club. The club, a football club is more or less a community of people who agreed to support the same group of players playing for the club. For example, just to give some examples for it, in I think the late 80s or the early 90s, I think it was around that time when Arsenal had a core of black players playing. I think
young players,
Paul Davis, David Rocastle, and Casey, of course, and then came in right afterwards. What made it possible for the club to do that? I mean, in times where there were stupid racist ideas everywhere, what made it possible for the club to have that is the people inside the stadium, the people who support the club, who were inclusive, who were open-minded, who were against anything that is racist. So that made it a suitable environment for the club to be inclusive and be that kind of classy club. But people keep attaching, what I'm trying to say is it's not the people in charge who define the class of the club or how the club behaves. It's us as fans. So if we let the club behave in a certain way, that's on us as fans. If we see the club doing something that we don't define as class, we don't define as the right thing to do, and we're silent. I think it's different now because there are no fans in the stadium. And you only see the fans online and you see the fans arguing online and you see people posting stuff that you'd never imagine Arsenal fans would be saying or calling other, like people abusing Xhaka and his wife, people abusing Arteta online. If you're in the stadium, these people would be not ejected by stewards, but ejected by the people themselves, by the community of the club, which are the supporters. Not ejected, like carried out, but if you're a racist person and you stand up and start shouting racist slurs in the Emirates Stadium, you will not find anyone agreeing with you. You will, with time, you'll be just someone crying into thin air, and then you'll decide to leave because this is not a racist place. I can't say here, I have to leave. So this is what I mean, that we define how the club behaves. What do you think of that, Casey? given the club has mismanaged several topics without going into details, but we've mismanaged lots of topics in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, how we behave as a club in general.
Well, Ahmed, what I will say is, back in the day, I mean, I first went to Highbury in 1977. Princess Guna, PG, went there probably before that, as a baby girl. I went there and I was gobsmacked. I come from Brixton, which is predominantly black area. So I traveled with my friends and we went up to Arsenal. And to see the multicultural fan base go into the game, I was like shocked, because I was thinking, wow, we're going to go up to Arsenal and it's going to be, you know, all white people there. I didn't really know. You see on Match of the Day and you see mostly white faces, or mainly white faces. But I went up there in 1977 and I saw black faces. I saw different colours, different creeds, different nationalities, all there supporting one thing, which is Arsenal, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. So I thought, I supported Arsenal before. That made me even fall in love more with the club because it was a multicultural environment. When you get to be playing for the club, Arsenal have a big scouting network in London and a massive scouting network in South London, where I'm from. So the likes of Paul Davis, David Rolcastle, Michael Thomas, myself, David Hillier, you know, we came from all from South London. Obviously, Emil Smith-Rowe's from South London now. That part of Arsenal is so important, because having a core of London boys is important, because that's what drives the club. But you see, what tends to happen is things start to change, and a fan base, our fan base, changes with the environment that football becomes. When we leave Highbury and we go to the Emirates, everything changes. The identity of the football club, which was a lot of homegrown players, and then a lot of foreign players who bought into the mentality of trying to be the best. That's why we were the best. Once that changes, you see different players start to get bought into the team. The team changes. Before, we were a big side. You look at the last title winning side, they could handle themselves physically as well as tactically. You look at the Cesc Fabregas team, etc. Very good technically, but what did teams used to do? Teams used to come and bully us. Yeah. And as soon as they started to bully us, we couldn't handle it. But that was under Wenger's watch. So it things change. And then social media takes over. So you've got this, Arsenal were very good. Arsenal start to come down a few levels, and then social media kicks in when we're not at that level. Social media starts chipping away here, where we win an FA Cup, it papers a crack. We win an FA Cup, it papers a crack. But in all these 17, 16 years, Ahmed, we haven't been consistent in the league. We haven't. And over the last 4 years, we haven't even qualified for the Champions League. So what gives anybody the right to think we're going to qualify all of a sudden because we changed the manager here, we changed the manager there? It's not going to happen. And that's why the fan base can't accept, because they used to be being winners, and the fan base cannot take it. It's sad. Yeah. But it's true. It's difficult for us as Arsenal fans to take, because we're not as good as we once were.
I think frustration is a huge part of it. Can you imagine the environment in the stadium if fans were in the stadium now?
Oh, yeah, it'd be toxic. Absolutely toxic. Look at Manchester United. Look, it's very difficult to replace two legendary managers. Manchester United have now gotten to a point where they're a little bit more competitive. And I think most of us would argue maybe we don't really know how they're second in the league, because they haven't been that great and the league hasn't been that great, but somehow they're there. Still, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was in a similar position to Arteta, got them to third, qualified for the Champions League. So I think that's the part for me that gives me hope and why I'm willing to give him until November, December this year after he has the summer transfer window to see what he can really do when he completely turns this team. But for him to be abused, like the news today, Amanda, and I know you wanted to kind of mention this real quick and we'll go to Shihab for his next question, is really, these are the things nobody agrees with. Abusing players, racism, you know, attacking people for their culture, attacking managers for and referees. This is disgusting behavior. Nobody agrees with that. And I think the toxicity of social media just fuels that fire. You can be unhappy as an Arsenal fan. You can question the manager, but don't abuse him. I think that's
it just doesn't comprehend why you would go on and threaten someone's family because you don't like a substitute he put on or you don't like who he picked at number 10. I am so angry. I didn't know about this till today. I read the article. Honestly, I'm lost for words. Any abuse of anyone, even down to the lineswoman, linesman, anybody, do not abuse anyone. Full stop in life. Forget anything. Forget what culture they are, male or female, race or religion, gender, anything. Don't abuse anyone. Yeah. Full
and
stop.
Arsenal
and I'll tell you something. If I see it, I don't know which one said about when you're in the stadium and if you hear racism and stuff, don't be too shocked about when I've been away games, what goes on and people do not stand up. I do. I really do, but people don't because it's not an easy situation to be in when 200 people are screaming disgusting language to a rival football player on a pitch. You're not going to wade in. It's different for me being female, actually. It's easier for me to do that. And then I get abused, but I have to stand up and call it out. I'd never allow it to happen. And the fact that I'm Jewish and when we go to Spurs matches and what goes on. So I've been in the middle of it. I'm being Jewish and being a woman. I'll tell you something, it's not easy at Arsenal Spurs, but I won't shy away from that. But to have abuse thrown at you because you don't like, I'm sorry, you are absolutely disgusting and out of order. You don't have a brain cell there to do that to someone's family. Social media is wonderful.
We can criticise, but not abuse, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I criticise. I criticise Wenger nearly every week towards the last few years.
Didn't everyone.
But the thing is, you know, you'd never... It goes too far and it is disgusting.
All right. Shihab,
you have another question. Yeah, I have a question to Kav. And to the people who are supporting Arteta, showing love to Arteta.
Okay.
When do you think it's time for Arteta to go? Like when, like if you, what is like the fine line? Or where do you think, okay, Arteta should go? Like at what stage? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Shihab, I think the key for everything is Arteta. He's got a plan. Of course he's got a plan. But I still believe it's not his team quite yet. I think now that he's got the deadwood out, he needs to get to the summer and he needs to make this team his own. And I'm not saying he's going to go and win the title in the first. I'm not saying that. But if he doesn't improve us after it's his team, then people come Christmas time, people are going to be looking at it. Of course, if we find ourselves in this position come next December, I think the writing's going to be on the wall for Mikel Arteta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he has to be given a bit of time to try and build what he's trying to build, as far as I'm concerned. Because to give him a little bit of time, great, he won an FA Cup. That means he knows something, he could do something. We don't do so well this season, and finally he gets the deadwood out. He gets to the summer and he starts bringing in his own pieces. This is what we need. Then we're going to see how we do next season. If he's not good next season, then the club are more are well within their rights to look at somebody else.
But I would go a bit further than that, Kev.
No, I'm just saying, he's asking me when I would, when would it be right to look at him? I think December next year, if we're struggling, wallowing in 11th place, then it's worth, you can look at it. Of course you can.
You can, but I'd still give him to the end of the season.
No, we're saying give him to the end of the season, give him the summer transfer window.
No, I mean the end of next season. That's for me.
Oh, no, I think if we're still 11th
because
or
you know what?
Yep, and yes. Then you can move on to your last question. Yes.
Yeah, just to continue on this subject.
Good question, Chihab.
When you say he's bringing in players, or he's going to bring the players he wants, right? Which kind of players are we talking about? That's why I want to understand, because what everybody's saying that we can't bring in a big manager, big name, because we can't bring in players, big players. So I'm not expecting that Arteta will bring in quality players. So in this matter, I'm not expecting big results or positive results.
Salim,
if you understand my point.
Hold on a minute. So on one hand, you tell me about Aston Villa and West Ham doing better than us. Yeah. And on the other hand, you're telling me about Arteta can't buy big players. Well, this is what he has to work with. Leave it to him.
The two aren't correlated, are they?
But that's what I'm saying. We will see. He's not going to go out and buy players for 60, 70 million, but that's why he's been put in.
He has to go and
choose players.
Jump in.
I would really like us to look at Leicester City. I would really love to be like Leicester City. Leicester City are very, very smart recruiters. They don't pay like a hefty bunch of money, but they bring the right players. The key is not spending big anymore. The key is like finding the right players in the right places. This is in my opinion.
Smart.
Yeah. If you look at Partey is a bargain for me. If you look at Partey and as a player, we stole him.
At Tierney as well. Yeah. But these are Arteta players. We've just got to give him.
No, Tierney is not an Arteta player. Emery bought him.
Oh, did Emery bring him?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so I want us to be like Leicester. I'm sorry, but Leicester, for me, are the most as the smartest team in the Premier League.
Well,
look at them. Yeah. The way they recruit players, the way they pick their players, it's spot on. I would like
you
to
know,
see
Shihab,
like them.
But you know, Shihab, this is what I will say to you. They've got a player at the back called Johnny Evans, who's been brilliant for them. Arsenal could have got him for next to nothing. Our fan base are snobs. We're snobs. We don't want him. We don't
because
want this
I'll tell
one.
You
we
why.
Don't want that one.
I'll tell you why. Because we had a similar case with Silvestre. If you remember Silvestre, we brought him from United. He was a reject from United, and like he turned out to be a flop. We had like a bad memory with the United players that we got. If you look at the Chelsea case too,
but
like
we're taking Chelsea reject no.
from Chelsea from the rivals. Like when you look at it, they are reject. That's why like the fan base that they don't really accept them. But with the Evans one, I agree with you completely. But I'm telling you from a fan perspective. Like if I look at Evans, he's a reject, you know.
And the Turkish defender, Siyonchu, we were supposed to buy him and we didn't. And now you see Fofana doing well, but yet Saliba is
can't get in
in Liga. Okay. Listen, you guys, you're listening to the Highbury Squad. This is the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 27. I love it. We have the Egyptian Gunapod in the house. We have Arsenal Algeria and Arsenal Lebanon. I'm telling you right now, these guys know their Arsenal stuff, don't they? I mean, and you know what? When you tune into a radio show, you generally do for 2 hours. You know what? Tonight, I'm not saying we're going to go 2 hours, but we're giving you a little bit extra time.
It's not Sophie time.
It's international fan group time, okay? Salim, your final question.
My final question, all right.
Is it your third question? It's okay. Yeah. We're going to do a part two. Don't worry. We're going to come back. We'll do a sequel.
Yes, this one is for Amanda. Would you rather have an owner like Abramovich was spending loads of money, but chopping and changing all the time, and winning titles, or keep the same culture that we have now, classy Arsenal. So,
not so classy.
I love so this question. I love it.
Well, you see, I'm here to win everything. I don't get what cup it is. It's a very hard one because we're a very like old school club, aren't we? And Abramovich and changing managers doesn't work. So, oh, that's a tough one because
it doesn't work. They've won everything. How does it
not
work?
They are ruthless. Right. Because they are ruthless.
Is this my answer? Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So if you let me finish, it's about winning and we want to win everything. Yeah. But to have Abramovich and you're talking about Mourinho style and stuff like that, I have to be honest, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't. When people wanted Mourinho to come to us, I was nearly going to throw up. I don't care that he's won a few. I couldn't have him at my club. I can't stand the man. I actually just cannot stand him. But he has been a winner in the past. I wouldn't want him at my club, though. So I can't answer that, to be honest, because to me, a
cop out.
Football is all about winning trophies. That's it.
Answer the question then.
That's what we're here for. But I wouldn't want someone like I wouldn't want a manager in and out every year. No, I wouldn't.
Hold on one second. You just said football's about winning trophies.
It is, yeah.
And Chelsea have got rid of their manager. They fired Carlo Ancelotti in the stairwell of Goodison Park after he won the double. They fired Roberto Di Matteo after he won the Champions League. They fired. Rafa Benitez won the Europa League. He's out.
Salim, ask me the question.
Ask me the question.
This is my question, and I haven't finished.
No, but
you
said
keep
you don't know.
Me.
You said no, you don't know.
No. You Let copped out, Amanda, and now you're going to change it. Go on.
No, I'm not going to change it. I'm just saying I wouldn't want that style, but I do want to win trophies year in, year out. I don't want to sack my manager every year, and I don't want to be Chelsea every year, I'm afraid. So I would stay as we are.
Right. Ask Sophie, and then ask me.
I would take the Roman Abramovich model every single day of the week. You know why? Football is a ruthless business. It is not just about sport. It's about business. It's about winning. And these guys sit here every week and tell me, but Arteta won the FA Cup. And now Amanda's saying, but I wouldn't want that because of this, this, and this. No. I would take all of the glory Chelsea have had in the Champions League, the Europa League and the Premier League over the last 10 to 15 years and have the ruthlessness of you're out, mister, even after you win.
Something.
That's my answer.
Let me tell you something. A lot of people, they don't understand. This is how it is. We hear about modern football. That's how it is right now. It is about winning titles.
Yes.
It's a result-driven business. It is a business. It's Arsenal PLC. You know?
Yes. That doesn't mean I want Mourinho as a manager. I just want to win. No. I don't care who's the man.
I don't care who the manager is.
As long as we're winning titles.
As long as we're winning, I don't care.
So what's your answer, Casey? What's your answer?
You reckon? I don't care. I don't care. Bring in the money. Bring the money in.
I didn't say don't bring the money. I just don't want my manager sacked every year.
No. You said you'd rather stay as we are. So
exactly.
If that was the choice, then I wouldn't want a manager as sacked every year.
No,
I wouldn't want to be like that, like Chelsea. No.
But you've answered your question. Leave me with mine.
No, because that's not fair.
Leave me with mine.
Because I want to win titles and cups every year.
No, but you want to stay as we are. I want to win.
If it was the choice of sacking managers every year, yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. If they're not doing the business and they've got all the backing, you're out. That's fine.
Chelsea, they did do the business and they still were out.
No, but what they're saying is that's the model. You might not sack every year, but that is the model. Abramovich has been ruthless. If he goes into the dressing room and something ain't right, he'd probably say, do you know what? He's out.
Let's see the next time Chelsea win the league, yeah?
Okay. Ahmed, your question. Over to you.
Let Chab go first because mine should be the final one.
Okay. All right. Okay.
If I may say one thing.
Go on. You can say. You can answer it too. Yeah. Go on.
Regarding the spending, we spend money. If you look at our bill, we spend money. But as I said before, it's the way that we are spending money on the players. The players that we're bringing in are the problem. The problem is not the money, in my opinion. Like, okay, we don't spend in one transfer window like Chelsea. And if you look at them, like, they suckled with Lampard. That's why he got the sack. They weren't improving. There weren't any sign of improvement. That's why he got the sack. Okay, so my question is, like, if you had the chance to buy two players to improve Arsenal, and let's be realistic, not say Messi and Ronaldo and this stuff, like, who do you think, like, fits the Arsenal and, like, makes us better? And in which position? Like, let's say two players. Like, let's work as an Arsenal transfer window.
I'll go first on this one.
Yeah.
I would tomorrow, if the window was open, I would go and get Bissouma from Brighton to partner Thomas Partey in midfield. And if we could get him, I'd go and get Jack Grealish. If we couldn't get him, I would still go and get Zaha, because he could beat people on the outside, and that is what we need.
What do you think of Maddison?
I think Maddison's a good player.
Weak sauce,
but,
I think.
But I would rather Bissouma.
Oh, yeah. I like this too. We like Lukaku.
Casey, by the way, Unai Emery wanted Zaha.
Yeah, and we did, and we got Pepe.
For 80 million, don't forget.
We got ripped off.
Yeah. PG, what's your answer? Which two players would you like?
I don't really do this, do I? So I don't do any transfers or anything like that. I'll just say what he says. There we go.
Okay. I would tell you, we did a show the other day with a really good friend of the show, James Johnson. We looked at plan A, plan B. I don't know if you guys saw it. And also a very good friend, Dave Seeger, wrote a great article for Gunnerstown and the Sun where he talked about Lukaku. And KC asked on his show on Wednesday, on Kevin Says, do Arsenal need a big striker? And people poo-pooed Olivier Giroud. Olivier Giroud gave Arsenal a plan B. Now, his pace was off, but what he provided for in the box, we have 333 crosses in the last however many months, and nobody's gotten on the end of it. If we could get someone like a Lukaku, who holds the ball up, he's strong, he's got a bit of pace, that's the type of player that we need. And then we really do need, I'd like to see what Odegaard does, and he's given a chance, because until he's given a chance, we don't know if we have to go and spend money on Usam Awa. You know what I mean? And for me, I would love to buy a right back. And I think we need a left back.
Definitely.
So I think those are important positions. Kieran Tierney, guys.
Hold on, Sophie.
I'm a bit worried about Kieran Tierney.
She's the host. She can't.
Kieran Tierney's a little injury prone, you guys. I don't want to panic yet, but it's a little bit worrying.
Great question.
He's not fit. And now Thomas Partey, who's been quality, is out as well. So we've got some problems. You know,
what are the chats saying? What's the chat saying?
Okay, we've got Lamptey, we've got Lukaku, we've got Grealish, we've got. They also mentioned Bissouma. We had
Samari.
Hakimi.
There, yeah.
Hakimi is a player. Zaha, and also big up for the boys from Shady as well. By the way,
I agree.
Nobody thinks that we can afford Grealish. Buendia is still one, you guys. Mm-hmm. Here's the Hakimi, Bissouma, Samari as well. People like you guys.
I think we can get Grealish if we end up in a good position, like in a European place, maybe like we can get him.
Yeah, and he's going to want Champions League football next season, I think.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be praying every day to get Grealish. I think Grealish is going to be like the missing link in our midfield. The player with the flair who has all the solutions that you need. I think Grealish is the player that we need in midfield. And I would really love to bring a right back. I think Bellerin is like
he's finished. He's finished.
For me, it's too comfortable. I love him. It's I love him as a person, but yeah. as a player, I'm sorry, no.
He's way like, too comfortable. Like, and Neto is another one that everyone's brought up as well. But no, really good stuff. Ahmed, you wanted to have the last say, and I'm wondering what the question is.
It's a very light-hearted question. No, it's light-hearted.
Oh, I like it. Okay, good, good, good. Light-hearted.
If you had to watch the same Arsenal game from now till forever every weekend instead of the game that is on, one Arsenal game that you'll keep on repeat every week.
She's gonna answer. PG's gonna answer for me.
So easy. I can answer for Amanda and Kevin. I can easily answer for them, and they can correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe they would both say it's Anfield 89.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet, so.
No, mine's very different, and you might be surprised by it. Do you know which game has given me the greatest pleasure since Anfield 89? Mm. Since winning the league at White Hart Lane. That 4-2 against Tottenham, where Torreira scored that fourth goal and took his shirt off and spun it in the air. That to me, this is why Arteta needs that moment. This North London derby that's coming up, if Arteta can do something like that and have a moment like that, even though they're not going to be any fans in the stadium, but he's never beaten Mourinho as a manager or a player ever. If he can do this in the North London derby that's coming up, he gets a couple more love coupons from the Arsenal fans. If he loses to Mourinho again in that game, that becomes tough. But that match, that moment at the Emirates, oh my days, that was exactly brilliant. What football's all about.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And just to add to that, Sophie, it was the way the team fought back into the game.
Yes.
What really got everybody going.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That penalty, when we went 2-1 down, let's all admit, we were like, oh my God, it's over.
Same story again.
It's over.
Not again. We were like, not again. No, no. if I may choose a game. The 5-2 against Tottenham and 2011,
the first one.
I remember this game so well. It was like the 4-2. I was like, oh no, again, and suddenly everything went perfect. Like the Rosicki, the Van Persie's goal. Yeah, even though we have like now our issue with Van Persie, but like it was very magical. And I have to say, another match I would love to watch is Arsenal against Manchester City. The Gazzola masterclass.
Oh, that was great. This one was good too. The 5-1.
It was like a masterclass in everything. Even by Wenger, tactically, it was spot on. Like it was the first time I watched Arsene Wenger having a plan, having a game plan, playing against City with a plan, like playing against them against their weaknesses. Digging their weaknesses, which is the low blocks, and like fighting, like taking our chances. It was an amazing game. I would love to watch it all my life.
Salim, what's yours?
5-4, 2005, White Hart Lane.
That was special. And I agree about the 5-3 versus Middlesbrough. That was a very special game with the Martin Tyler stand up for the champions commentary. That was goosebumps.
What about the Chelsea final at Cardiff with Ray Parlour scoring?
Yeah, that was who scored?
There were two. One, there was the Lundberg. Ray Parlour. Great goals.
That was.
And also, KC, you played in Tottenham. When we beat Tottenham as well in the cup, right?
I could choose that one at Wembley. You know, after they'd done that was a special. Couple of years before, Tony Adams scored. You know. You give it that the Arsenal fans were singing the donkey won the derby. You know?
The donkey won the derby. I've got donkey won the derby.
But also, what about the God when he scored the a goal against it? Would you believe it?
Yeah. And against Everton.
Last day of the season.
I think you could have probably 100 games over the time. Well, I can because I'm old. At least 100 games that were just phenomenal. 89 would always be number one, but there's plenty. The Old Trafford when we won the league.
The Wiltord
there's just
moment.
So many.
Yeah.
Wiltord.
Oh, yeah. The Wiltord.
Overmars.
Look
how blessed we are.
I know.
We're blessed.
I know.
Winning the league at White Hart Lane. I mean, that day. Oh, my goodness. Amazing. All right. Listen, I tell you what's been amazing. these three fellas. Let's give them a
thank you.
Bob, what a show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely top shelf. Top
Salim Ahmed Shihab, fantastic. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Before we say goodbye to them, I have a couple of things to announce. Okay, so don't forget footballprizes.co.uk, our sponsor. Reed, I hope you won it. Reed was our competition winner for the free ticket. The draw happened an hour ago. We'll find out if he wins. There's going to be something else for everyone to win next week. I also was approached on Instagram, because you know I love dogs, by a brand called the Buddy Bandana, okay? And if you go to the buddybandana.com, you can get 40% off getting a bandana for your dog, and you can get a scrunchie for yourself, and all you have to do is put in the code SoccerDiva71. So go to the buddybandana.com and put in SoccerDiva71, and you could get something special for your dog. It's really reasonably priced as well, so that's amazing. We wanted to give a shout out to Darren. We hope you're doing well. We hope you feel better.
Well, Darren.
All right, Darren, shout out to you. And then it's Valentine's Day this Sunday, the day I feel sorry for all of my guy friends, because women are so demanding. They want everything. They want the chocolates. They want the champagne. They want it all.
3 points more than anything else. Oh,
that's where I was going, Amanda. Yeah. And the Arsenal are playing on Valentine's Day. And let's hope it's not the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, we hope it is for Leeds.
We hope it is for Leeds. Thank you to everyone. I know the show was a little bit longer tonight, but it's well worth it. You tune into TalkSport for 2 hours, BBC Radio 5 Live, any show in your country. These guys have been absolutely epic. We're going to do a part two, you guys, because there's so much more to unearth with you, okay? Last word for each of you, 30 seconds. Salim, you go first.
Yes, that was great being in the on the show, obviously. Thanks to you, Sophie, Casey, brilliant, Amanda, the same. Thank you for having me on, and hope to speak to you soon.
Amazing. Fantastic. Ahmed, great questions as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And I think this here, this is what represents Arsenal the most. Six people from different places and backgrounds all agreeing on the same thing, which is supporting Arsenal. And that's probably the answer to my earlier question about what makes out a club. That's probably something like this.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Shihab.
First of all, I want to say thank you for having me. It's my first experience, by the way. And I love it.
Virgin love Potter.
It. Thank you. And I'm waiting for the for part two. Okay, I'm waiting for the
Okay, we're gonna do part two. We're gonna do it
And I would love to say something to Kev. I'm very happy that I finally had the chance to talk with you. Right. It's to admire you when you were a pundit and on the televisions analyzing games and stuff. And I want to thank you, Sophie, for this amazing opportunity. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
It's, it's very nice to speak with an Arsenal legend. It's a very nice opportunity for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, guys. And we look forward to speaking to you again in part two.
Yeah, definitely. It's happening. It's happening. Get ready. It's going to be happening soon. Thanks to everyone in chat who's been joining us tonight. Hundreds of you. I hope I got to as many questions as I could. If not, we'll continue the conversation on YouTube. Thanks to these amazing people who have joined us tonight. It's a little bit later for them. Casey and Amanda, great stuff. Let's hope for a win against Leeds. Very quickly, 10 seconds each, a prediction against Leeds. PG.
2-0.
Casey.
3-2 Arsenal.
Salim.
I'll go for 3-1 Arsenal.
Ahmed.
3-1.
Shihab.
1-0 to Arsenal. 1-0 to the Arsenal.
I'm going to go 3-2 to Leeds. I'm sorry. And on that note, we're going to leave. PG, take me out.
Oh, my God. That's thrown me.
What's all that about?
I'm just being honest.
No, I know. What's all that about? Kill us.
I think we're going to get busted on the counter. I mean, I think we can score. They can concede as many as they score, but there's no Tierney. There's no party. I know. Sorry. Red card for me. I'm getting crucified right now. Let's just go. Amanda, finish the show.
Right. I've got to finish the show. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks to these wonderful guys as well for coming on. You were absolutely brilliant. Enjoy your Friday night and always Arsenal.